Welcome to the Big Book Roundtable and the RICO 12 family of recovery resources targeted at people from all backgrounds, faiths, and places, and dealing with addictions of all varieties. RICO 12 is also a resource for the loved ones of addicts. I'm Justin B. I am a child of an all-powerful and all-loving God and a multidisciplinary addict living in Spokane, Washington, and in the miraculous recovery, the miraculous promises of recovery. And I'm blessed to be the moderator of this roundtable. I'm sitting around this Zoom roundtable with David G. and Nikki M., and we are striving to be examples of those who live in the miracle of recovery one day at a time. Nikki, why don't you take just a minute and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Nikki, and I'm a grateful member of many, many fellowships, and I have a big book, and if it's between us, we're going to have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki. How about you, David? Introduce yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me get unmuted here. Hey, everybody. My name is David G., and I am an alcoholic and an addict of many sorts, and I am very grateful to be here with my brother, Justin, my sister, Nikki. Always good to be in this round table and study the book that I love so much more than anything. This is my first love, and it's been my love forever. So really good to be here. I'm looking forward to diving in today. Thank you, Justin.
And thank you, David. Thank you, Nikki. All right. We're going to jump right in and get reading today. We're going to pick up. We're going to finish off the chapter Bill's Story on page 16. We'll read just a few paragraphs today and dig into these paragraphs. These are some powerful readings here. So out there in the listening audience, grab your big book, grab a pen, paper, highlighter, whatever you need. Get ready to take notes and learn some really cool insights as we dive into this. Here we go. I'm going to start on page 16. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th of 1971. All right, so in these three short paragraphs, there's some stuff that we can really dive into. There's some painful things in here. There's some hard things in here, and there is some hope in here. And I just want to dig in here just a little bit. And Nikki, why don't you start us off and talk a little bit about some of the insights, some of the thoughts and things that jumped out at you in these paragraphs that we read.
Okay, thank you so much. And you're right, it's a little couple short paragraphs, but they are heavy hitters because where it says an alcoholic, well, I don't have to pick up a drink. I suffer the disease of alcoholism. So it says Nikki in her cups. And cups of what? My line out says cups of thoughts. You know, I take one thought, no one likes me, and it's, I should die. I'm not worth living. So it goes real dark and ugly for me, or in my cups of men. And when I was into it, my cups of money, I'm an unlovely creature. Above there, it says I'm an ape. I like to eat, sleep, defecate, fornicate. And that's about it. I'm a creature and not a cool one. And our struggles, you know, with them, working with these people. How about living with these people? They are comic and tragic. It's awful, you know, about the suicide. Today, I got a phone call. Nikki, will you sponsor me? We've been trying to connect. 20 years in Al-Anon. And she has worked the steps so many times. I didn't even know where to start with her. And I said, you are going to die. She's the walking dead. And she was not offended by that. She says, I'm dying. And this is with no substance, just in her cups of thoughts. She could not, would not, will not see our way of life. This is a way of life. This is, I came in here for something, free therapy. Oh my God, I've been paying so much for therapy. All I've got to do is put a dollar into this hat and I've got this. No, that's not what this isn't about. We talked about it in our last episode about a price being paid, about self-sacrifice and work, you know, and my mother lives in my house forever because her poor chap, her husband of 25 years, you know, he committed suicide and in their home and looked at her right when she was making breakfast. I'm lucky my mom's alive. So this is serious, serious stuff. And it says, there's fun about it. We have a lot of fun here. We're talking about awful things, but we have a good time. Later, we talk about not being a glum lot because no one would want it if we weren't. I mean, I remember my first time walking in and I thought, these people are having a good time. Don't they see I'm dying? Don't they see the snot coming out of my ears and nose? They were happy, joyous, and free. And I wanted what they had. And here it is. I love this. It says, faith. And above faith, I put God. I had a problem with God. If you have a problem with God, put power. No one's looking for God. We're looking for power. This power has to work 24 hours a day in me. That's where I find it. I don't find it in his pants anymore, everybody. And I certainly don't find it in that bank account of mine. I find it in me and through me, or I perish, I die. And if you're like the person I spoke to on the phone today, or if you're like me when you came into the rooms, I'm the walking dead. That's the worst place to be, too afraid to live, too afraid to die. And then I it's true. Most of us feel we need to, I have found utopia, right? And the crazy thing is it's right here just with me in my bedroom. I just got back from Luxembourg, okay? Do your research on that country. What? It's a pretty amazing country. And I'm happier here alone in my bathrobe and bedroom because I could not find it in a new child, in money, in my big book. I couldn't find it in more exercise and more in anything, you name it, in my church, in my prayer, in my sponsors, in people's emotionally frothy appeals. I couldn't find it anywhere but deep down inside of me. That's it. And so it says right here, right now. And many times you guys, you know, I ask, what's missing in this moment? If you're wherever you are, you're driving, you're walking, think hard. What is missing in this moment? And nothing is missing. And even if it is missing, nothing I can do about it. And of course, I have a simple talk because that's what we do around this round table. We just have a simple talk. And it is always ending in peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. This is such a cool program. We're just two or more people gathered together as a meeting. And that's what we do here every week. So I'm just grateful because many people cannot, will not see this way of life. Many won't make it, Justin. And you know what? I've accepted that. I'm cool. I'm going to make it because this is utopia. There's no other better place to be. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki. I appreciate that. And yeah, we're going to dig into that a little bit more when I get into a question that I've written down for you. But let's hear from David first. David, tell us a little bit about some of your insights, your takeaways, and what you read as we've gone through this these few paragraphs.
Well, I'm really grateful. Nikki really covered this very thoroughly. My experience is the same. I think for me, he's talking about sponsorship here. When he says, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And that is absolutely me drinking. That is me sober whenever I'm untreated. You know, I'm just coming to the rooms. I'm just going to meetings, just go to meetings, just go to meetings. You know, and I would hear that stuff all the time. Just keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. Now stay, just stay. Because, you know, I kept coming back and I was dying in the rooms. But he says, our struggles with them. You see, an unlovely creature. That's what tells me this is about sponsorship. Our various stringent, comic, and tragic. I have stories by the thousands, as I'm sure you guys do, with the people that I've sponsored through the years, through this work. Hilarious. Tragic. I've been to a lot of funerals. I had a couple of friends that I had sponsored, and one shot himself in the head, the other hung himself in his bathroom. Both of them without drink, you know, they'd been drinking, but they just could not find a solution. And Bill gives us an example of this. And this was a man by the name of Bill C. We don't really know what his last name was. It's not recorded, but his last initial was C. And he was a Canadian. And so he was a lawyer, but he was also a professional gambler. And he lived with the Wilsons for about a year. And what he'd done, and this is what many of us do without this solution, he used the gas stove. Without it being lit and the fumes, he suffocated himself to death. And so Bill tells us about this man. He says, one poor chap committed suicide in my home. Could you imagine? somebody living with you, staying with you, you come in that morning, they're dead. I mean, a lot of people out there in the audience may have had this experience, but this is why. And this is where I was, but for the grace of God, not only in 1994 when I came here, but in 2019, after being here 25 years, I found myself exactly in this way that he's going to describe. He could not or would not see our way of life. It wasn't that I couldn't or wouldn't. It's just that I couldn't. And then there was times whenever I couldn't, you know, I could, but I wouldn't. And so this is a way of life. You know, and without this way of life, as outlined in this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a dead man. There is no doubt in my mind. I have proved to myself that I'm headed for a bad place. And it tells us that on page 85 of our book. One of the few times it says it's easy to rest on our laurels. It says we're headed for trouble if we do that. And it doesn't say what that trouble may be. But he says there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. And as Nikki talked about, there is a vast amount of fun about all of this. I love being sober. I love being clean. I love doing what we do here. There's a lot of fun. I like to get together with people in recovery, you know, float down the Illinois River, take hiking trips, camp out, go to AA retreats. I mean, man, I've been on a cruise. I was reading down through the itinerary there and I saw Friends of Bill W. I was like, I know what that is. I'm going to check that out. And there was one person that showed up to that, and it was a young lady who was struggling because she'd been on many cruises and never been able to stay sober. And my wife, I, and that woman was the only one that showed up to those meetings. But you know what? That lady was able to make it through that sober and sober we. So there was a vast amount of fun. We had a great time, went to Mexico. I mean, it was cool. So we get to live here. We get to live. You know, some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness and levity. Remember, on page 132 of our big book here. And if you flip over to that and you look at the second to the last paragraph, it tells us this: cheerfulness and laughter make for usefulness. Outsiders are sometimes shocked when we burst into a merriment over a seemingly tragic experience out of the past. But why shouldn't we laugh? We've recovered, not just sober here. We've recovered now from a hopeless state of mind that was killing me. But look at what he says. And we've been given the power. People tell me, David, you ain't got the power. But yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. It's a gift that was given to me, and it's mine. Now, I can abuse that. I can lose that. I can do whatever. But that's a gift. We are given power here. But it's not for David to go run off and do whatever he wants with. As it says right there on page 132, I'm given that for one reason, and that's to help others. And that's exactly what happened to Bill. He says faith has to work through us 24 hours a day, in and through us. And I love what Nikki said about that. That's my prayer. Every time I go to the podium, every time I speak from behind the camera, God, speak to me, speak through me. That is one of my prayers, always. And it says we either do that or we perish. People say, oh, yeah, you don't have a choice here. Yeah, I got one right there. I absolutely do. Either do this or die. So most of us feel we need to look no further for utopia. We have it right here with us now. Each day, my friend, we're talking about Ebby here, simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself into a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. I'm a part of that widening circle today. And so are you, and so are you, and so is everybody out there. If you're in this deal, you are a part. Every time a newcomer comes in and we get a hold of them, are the ones that have been here for years and years and years that Nikki talked about. And we take them through this process and we watch them get free from the ego. That circle widens just a little more. It's not about having a lot of people in there. It's about having a lot of recovered people in there, recovered from a hopeless state of mind. So very grateful to be here. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Nikki.
Yeah, thank you, David. David, each time you share something, you have a little like one-liner that just jumps out, and I've got to write it down. I'm going to ask you about that one-liner here in a minute after I talk to Nikki, the one that jumped out at me anyways. So Nikki, you mentioned the walking dead, you know, people who come in who could not, would not see our way of life, who are just alive in breathing and blood circulation only. How have you experienced that rebirth, that resurrection in your own life of walking dead to where you are today? And how have you seen that in others? What does that process kind of look like?
Well, I'm so grateful you asked that question and used that term, because I got a message the other day, Nikki, someone came on Noodle and you called them the Walking Dead. And you said, Nikki, you only speak big book. Where is that? It's, I think it's page 25. I'm not, don't quote me on the page, but it says, we blot out the consciousness of our existence. If you are blotting out the consciousness of your existence with fear, with worry, with drugs, with alcohol, with whatever it is, you're the walking dead. And so how do I counteract that? How do I not do that anymore? And what does it look like? Oh, it's on page, yes, 25. What do I do now? Like, I blot out my consciousness with the truth, which is my purpose. See, my purpose is to serve God and God's people. I didn't know what it was before. So I'm not the walking dead, because I have purpose every day, which is to serve anybody I can get my hands on. And sometimes if you're listening, sometimes that's just serving yourself, making your bed. Did you eat right today? Is what you're putting in your mouth helpful? How about if you have an animal? I have my dog, Toby, which I have not served. Well, come to find out he's got I thought he just had bad breath. He's got some disease going on in his mouth. It's going to cost me, but that's he's mine. I have to serve him. You see, this is what's my job. See, blotting out the consciousness of my existence, being the walking dead. I don't need to do that anymore because I have a full-time job. It's to be helpful. See, this is what the book does. It tells me that's how, and then I go out and I do the work. It's like, I think I said, I don't know if it was here. I have to stop doing the things I want to do. That's how I become the non-walking dead, is I start doing the things I don't want to do, because my addict life is my only normal one. It's normal for me to be the walking dead. Isn't that how everybody lives? Justin, David, isn't that how you guys exist? No, Nikki, that's not. That's not normal. So now I know what normal is. I know how to become part of, I love what, like, exactly. David has so many one-liners, part of the widening circle. That has not hit me, but David said, I'm part of it. And that's what I put out. I'm part of this widening circle that's very much alive, that very much has purpose, that very much has a job to do. See, if you're part of this widening circle, you can't be the walking dead, because we're commencing shoulder to shoulder. And you guys will prop me up and remind me, Nikki, come on, get in here, toe the line. You're not dead anymore. You're alive, you know, and not the weird science kind. I'm alive, put together by the creator of the universe, not some guys in a basement. Thank you, Justin.
Love that reference. Weird science. I haven't thought about that forever. Thank you for bringing that back to my mind. Good stuff, Nikki. I love that. All right, David, question I have for you comes from something you said that I'd never heard quite that way. You said, you know, keep coming back. No, stay. Stay. And you guys know, I mean, my closing line for pretty much everything is keep coming back, you know? And I want to understand how maybe that's incomplete. Talk to me about stay and the difference between coming back and staying.
Thank you, Justin, for that question. You know, I relapsed so many times prior to coming into the rooms to stay in Alcoholics Anonymous back in the day, Narcotics Anonymous, the various anonymous fellowships that I attended. And I would always hear that, you know, just keep coming back, just keep coming back. And I kept coming back and I kept going out and kept going out. And finally, I had an old timer tell me, David, stay. Don't keep coming back. Stay. Get into the book. He said, come all the way in and set all the way down. Well, I didn't know what that meant. And so on page 53 of the book, he gave me a little bird's eye view of what that might look like. And I know I made reference to that page a while ago. But on page 53, second to the last paragraph, it says, arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us already walked over the bridge of reason. Look at that capital R there. We're talking about the mind here, toward the desired shore of faith. Now, see, I keep coming back to that, keep coming back, but I haven't stayed. It says, the outline and the promise of the new land. Now, we're talking about the fellowship of whatever anonymous program you're in here. This is what we're talking about. People say, David, how do you know that? Well, read these words very carefully. The promise of the new land had brought lustered eyes to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Isn't that what we done when we came in here? We were waving a white flag saying, I give up. I'm done. Friendly hands stretched out and welcome in the fellowship. Isn't that what happened? They stretched out their hands and welcome. They gave us a hug. Come in. Come all the way in. Sat all the way down. Stay, David, stay. I was grateful that reason with the capital R, which is in my mind, because that's what I do. I reason things, had brought me so far, but somehow I can't quite step ashore. But see, I keep coming back and I keep coming back. I want to stay. How do I do that? I quit leaning so heavily on reason in that last mile. But see, I like to do that because I don't know any other way. And as we had read in one of the other episodes, you know, without knowing it, I've been brought to this kind of face. So for me, I can keep coming back here. And I think that's a great saying. I really do. But for people who have been in and out of these rooms for decades trying to get sober, my message is don't keep coming back. Stay, stay. Come here, come all the way in, sit all the way down. Come all the way in. Find a sponsor. Work the steps. Get a home group. Become a part of this widening circle. Stay. Thank you, Justin.
Man, there's all sorts of imagery is going in my head right now to understand that and apply that. Thank you so much, David, for jumping into that and talking about staying and what that means. Come all the way in, sit all the way down. Love that. Okay. Now we'll jump into takeaways, just real quick takeaways from what we've learned from this conversation, from this discussion, or insights that we have. Nikki, why don't you tell us a quick takeaway that you have?
Well, David kept taking us to 53. And if you just roll your eyes a little further back from where he started, God is everything or else God is nothing. God either is or God isn't. What is your choice to be? Will you see this way of life? It's a yes or no. It's not maybe. It's not I'm not sure. This is black and white. Yes or no. God is everything or God is nothing. And I'm going to beg you to be fearless from the start and join us on this broad highway, because we're talking miracles up in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. David, how about you? What's a takeaway for you from our conversation today?
Well, I really like what Nikki talked about on 53 there. God is either everything or else he is nothing. What is our choice to be? And when I was first asked that question and going through this work, I said, well, of course, you know, God is. And my sponsor said, it seems to me that you're thinking this is a one-time choice. This is daily. And that had never occurred to me in all the years that I've been reading the big book. I said, no, God is everything. He said, so, okay, at 24 years sober, you're sleeping with all kinds of women that aren't your wife, and you're not able to stop this. Was God everything that day, or was he nothing? What was your choice to be that day? Oh, my God, that like to kill me. So each day I make that choice that he is everything. But in order to do that, I have to look at me as the nothing part. The me as far as self. And so I love what I take away here is most of us feel, and what a feeling, because I've had a lot of feelings about a lot of different things, but most of us feel that we need to look no further for utopia. We have it right here with us right now. And as my friend Nikki said, I have that within. And I love that each day, not each time I go to a meeting, not each time I talk to my sponsor, not each time I come to the round table, not each time each day, my friend, simple talk in the kitchen. Remember back on page 13 or 12, I'm sorry. This was the talk that he's referring to. Despite the living example of my friend, Abby, there remained to me the vestiges of my old prejudice. The word God still aroused a certain antipathy. When the thought, key word, was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, I didn't like the feeling. And so as it goes on, Abby says, why don't you choose your own conception of God? He's referring back to that talk. And I look back on my life almost 30 years ago now. I had the same talk with a full-blood Native American in his kitchen. And he asked me to get on my knees that day and pray and turn my will and life over to God as directed on page 63 of the big book. And I couldn't do that. I walked away. But a week later, I come back and did. because I'm more afraid of what goes on inside of my head than I am praying to a God that I don't know anything about. Greatest decision I ever made. So for me, I don't know. It's pretty simple. You know, God is either everything or else he is nothing. My choice today is that he was everything. So thanks, Justin, Nikki. Really glad to be here with you guys.
Thank you so much, David and Nikki. Both of you, those takeaways were powerful and everything, and the insights that you gained were powerful. My takeaway actually has to do with a note that I wrote in my big book on April 22nd of 23. And apparently it's from a dream I had that night, and I probably journaled about it. So I'm going to have to go back and look at this. But it's in related to an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And then my line out says, but an alcoholic in recovery is a beautiful creature full of light. And I can witness to that. You know, I was so deadly afraid to step into the rooms of recovery before I came in, thinking that I was going to be going in with these people in trench coats that were just dark, miserable creatures. Well, it turns out I was the dark, miserable creature as I walked in there. Even if I was dressed up and looked nice and whatever else, I was in misery, and these people were full of light. They helped me. They reflected light that I needed so poorly, so badly. And that's my takeaway, is that just this widening circle that I am now a part of as I stay is just a beautiful place where beautiful people are. All right, let's close up here, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently, but still I'll reach out and just say, hey, all you out there in the listening world, if you have questions, if you want to see what David and Nikki are doing, you can find that in the show notes of the podcast. If you want to reach out to us, you can do that at rico12pod@gmail.com. And not only keep coming back, but stay. Come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay. It works. You are worth it.